but seems easier to others doesn't mean you're without your own talents. Connor thought about this for a moment.
I think I get it, Dad, he said.
Mr. Bailey smiled at him. Now, why don't we get down from this tree and I'll help you study for your next test.
I told you, studying doesn't help, Connor said. I've tried and tried and tried. It never helps.
Then we'll come up with our own way of studying, Mr. Bailey told him. We'll look at pictures of people in your history book and make up jokes about them so you'll remember their names. And we'll create funny scenarios to help you with all those math formulas.
Connor slowly but surely nodded and agreed to it.
Fine, he said with half a smile. But for future reference, I liked your story about the curvy tree much better. The walk home that day was very quiet. Alex could sense that her brother's presentation had left him a little tense. She tried breaking the silence every few steps with supportive comments, or at least she thought they were supportive.
I thought you made a good point, she said sweetly. Granted, it's not a point I ever would have made.
Thanks, Connor replied. She wasn't helping.
You may have overanalyzed it, though, Alex said. I do it all the time. Sometimes I read a story and interpret it the way I want to, rather than the way the author wanted me to. It just takes practice.
He didn't respond. She still wasn't helping.
Well, it's our birthday today, Alex reminded him. Are you excited to be 12?
Not really, Connor admitted. It feels just like 11, but aren't we supposed to be getting a new set of molars soon?
Come on, let's be positive. Alex insisted. Even though we aren't doing anything exciting for our birthday, we should stay optimistic. There are plenty of things to look forward to. One more year until we'll be teenagers.
I suppose, Connor said. Only 4 more years left until we can drive.
And 6 years left until we can vote and go to college, Alex added.
That was all they could come up with. Their cheerfulness was hollow, and they both knew it. So they just stayed silent for the remainder of the walk. Even if they had the most extravagant party in the world waiting for them at home, birthdays were always going to be hard for them. School had been predictable. The walk home had been typical. The whole day had seemed normal. There wasn't anything out of the ordinary to make their birthday feel special at all. Until they got home and saw a bright blue car pull into their driveway.
Grandma?
The twins said in perfect unison.
Surprise!
Yelled the grandmother, getting out of her car. She was so loud the entire neighborhood could hear her. The twins ran up to her with huge smiles on their faces. They only saw their grandmother a couple times a year and were stunned to see her in their driveway with no prior warning. Their grandmother hugged them both so tight they thought they'd pop.
Look at you two, she said. You both look like you've grown a foot since the last time I saw you.
Their grandmother was a petite woman with long, graying brown hair that was pulled back in a tight braid. She had the warmest smile and the kindest eyes in the world, which wrinkled pleasantly when she smiled, just like the twins' dad's eyes had. She was cheerful and energetic, and exactly what the twins needed. She always wore bright dresses and her signature shoes with white laces and brown heels. She was never more than a few feet away from her large green travel bag and blue purse. And although their grandfather died many years before, she always wore her wedding ring.
We had no idea you were coming, Connor said. It wouldn't be a surprise if you knew I was coming, Grandma said. What are you doing here, Grandma?
Alex asked.
Your mom called and asked me to stay with you while she went to work, Grandma told them. I couldn't let you spend your birthday alone, could I? Thank goodness I was in the country.
Their grandmother was retired and spent most of the year traveling around the world with other retired friends. They traveled to mostly third world countries and read to sick children in hospitals and taught other children of the communities to read and write.
Come help me with the groceries, Grandma told the twins.
She opened her trunk and the twins began unloading bags and bags filled with food into the house. It was enough food to last them for weeks. Mrs. Bailey was sitting at the kitchen table, going through another stack of mail with bright red warning labels on them. She quickly pushed them to the side when the twins and their grandmother paraded into the kitchen with the groceries.
What's all this? Mrs. Bailey asked. Hello, dear, Grandma said to her. I'm planning on cooking the twins a huge birthday dinner and wasn't sure what you had in the house, so I went to the store and picked up a couple things.
Their grandmother always had a talent for sugarcoating the truth.
You didn't have to go to all this trouble, Mrs. Bailey said, shaking her head, unprepared for the kind gesture. It wasn't any trouble at all, Grandma said with a small but reassuring smile. Alex, Connor, how about you go get your birthday presents from the front seat of my car, and I'll catch up with your mom for a sec, but don't open them until tonight.
They happily did as she asked. Presents was a word that had been absent from their vocabulary for a long time.
See, I told you, Alex said to Connor on their way to their grandmother's car. Optimism always pays off.
Yeah, Connor said.
Half a dozen wrap presents with bright bows, each marked to one of them, were waiting in the front seat of the car. The twins returned inside with their gifts. Their grandmother and mother were still having a conversation that they most likely weren't supposed to hear.
Things are still tough, Mrs. Bailey said. Even after selling the bookstore, the house foreclosed, and we still have some debt and things unpaid from the funeral. But we're making it somehow. In a few more months, we'll be back on our feet.
Grandma took Mrs. Bailey's hands into her own.
If you need anything, dear, and I mean anything, you know where to find me, she said.
You've already helped so much, Mrs. Bailey told her. I don't know where we'd be now if it weren't for you. I could never ask you for anything else.
You're not asking. I'm offering, Grandma assured.
The twins knew if they eavesdropped any longer, they'd be caught, so they walked back into the kitchen with their presents.
Well, I have to go back to work, Mrs. Bailey said, and kissed both of the twins on the tops of their heads. Have a great night, you guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Save some celebration for me.
She gathered her things and mouthed a meaningful thank you to their grandmother on her way out. Grandma put her things away in the guest bedroom and returned to the kitchen, where she found the stack of bills Mrs. Bailey had put aside. She plopped the mail into her own purse with a smile, and that was that. Grandma loved helping people, especially if it was against their will.
Let's get started on dinner, shall we? Grandma said, clapping her hands.
Alex and Connor sat at the table and visited with their grandmother while she cooked up a storm. She told them all about her recent trips, the difficulties she and her friends experienced getting into and out of places, and all the interesting people she had met along the way.
I've never met a person I didn't learn something from, Grandma said. Even the most monotonous people will surprise you. Remember that.
She was cooking so many different things, it was impossible to tell which ingredient was going where. Everything she did was so fast, and she used almost every pan and dish they had. With every second that passed, the twins' stomachs growled louder and louder, and their mouths salivated more and more. Finally, after a few hours of aromatizing torture, they ate. Alex and Connor had become so accustomed to frozen dinners and takeout, they'd forgotten how good food could taste. There were plates of mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese, oven-roasted chicken with carrots and peas, and freshly baked rolls. Their kitchen table looked like the cover of a cookbook. Just when they thought they couldn't possibly eat any more, their grandmother pulled a huge birthday cake out of the oven. The twins were amazed. They hadn't even realized she'd been baking one. She sang happy birthday, and the twins blew out the candles.
Now open your presents, Grandma said. I've been collecting for you all year.
They opened their boxes and were flooded with knickknacks from all the countries their grandmother had been to. Alex was given copies of her favorite books in other languages. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland in French, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz in German, and Little Women in Dutch. Connor got a pile of candies and tacky t-shirts that said things like, My crazy grandma traveled to India and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. They both received several figurines of famous structures, like the Eiffel Tower and the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the Taj Mahal.
It's crazy to think that places like this actually exist in the world, Alex said, holding an Eiffel Tower in her hand. You would be amazed to know what's out there just waiting to be discovered, their grandmother said with a smile and a twinkle in her eye.
A day with very low expectations had turned into one of the best birthdays they'd ever had. As the night grew later, the visit with her grandmother began to come to a bittersweet end. Since their dad had died, they never saw their grandmother for more than a day at a time, and there were always a few months between each visit. She was always so busy with her travels.
When do you leave? Alex asked her grandmother.
Tomorrow, she said. As soon as I take you to school.
The twins' posture sank a bit.
What's the matter? Asked their grandmother, sensing their spirits sink.
We just wish you could stay longer, Grandma, that's all, Connor said.
We really miss you when you're gone, Alex added. Things are so gloomy here without Dad, but you make everything seem like it's going to be okay.
Their grandmother's constant smile faded slightly, and her gaze drifted off toward the window. She stared blankly into the night sky and took a deep breath.
Oh, kiddos, if I could spend every day with you, I would,
Grandma said longingly, perhaps more disheartened than she intended to show.
But sometimes life hands us certain responsibilities, not because we want them, but because we are meant to have them. And it's our duty to see to them. All I can ever think about is how much I miss you two and your dad when I'm away.
It was hard for Alex and Connor to understand. Did she not want to travel as much as she did? Their grandmother looked back at them. Her eyes were bright with a new idea.
I almost forgot. I have one more gift for you, Grandma said, and jumped up and skipped into the next room. She returned carrying a large, old book with a dark emerald cover titled The Land of Stories in gold writing. Alex and Connor knew what the book was as soon as they saw it. If their childhood could be symbolized by an object, it was this book.
It's your old storybook, Alex proclaimed. I haven't seen that in years.
Their grandmother nodded.
It's very old and has been with our family a long time, Grandma told them. I take it with me everywhere I go and read it to the children in other countries. But now I want you two to have it.
The twins were shocked by the gesture.
What? Connor asked. We can't take your book, Grandma. That's the Land of Stories. It's your book. It's always been so important to you.
Their grandmother opened the book and flipped through the pages, the entire room filled with its musty paper aroma.
That's very true, said Grandma. This book and I have spent a lot of time together over the years, but the best times were when I read it to you. So I'd like to pass it down to you now. I don't need it anymore. I have all the stories memorized anyway.
She handed it to them. Alex hesitated, but finally accepted the book from her grandmother. It didn't feel right to take it. It was like receiving an heirloom from a relative who was still alive.
Whenever you're feeling down, on the days you miss your dad the most, or when you just wish I were here, all you have to do is open it up and we'll all be together in spirit, reading along, Grandma told them. Now it's getting late, and you have school tomorrow. Let's get ready for bed.
They did as she asked. Even though they were too old for it, their grandmother insisted on tucking them into their beds like old times. Alex took the Land of Stories with her to bed that night. She gently flipped through the old pages, being careful not to tear them. Seeing all the colorful illustrations of the places and characters again made her feel like she was reading an old scrapbook of sorts. She loved spending time reading about fairy tale characters more than anything. They had always felt so real and accessible to her. They were the best friends she had ever had.
I wish we got to choose which world we lived in,
Alex said, running her fingers over the illustrations. They were so inviting. In her hands was a world unlike the one she lived in. It was a world unaltered by political corruption or technology, a world where good things came to good people, and a world she wanted to be a part of with all her being. Alex imagined what it would be like to be a character in her own fairy tale, the forests she'd run through, the castles she'd live in, and the creatures she'd befriend. Eventually, Alex's eyelids began to feel heavy. She closed the Land of Stories, placed it on her nightstand, clicked off her lamp, and began to drift off to sleep. She was just about to fade into unconsciousness when she heard a funny noise. A low humming sound filled her room.
What in the world?
Alex said to herself and opened her eyes to see what it was. She saw nothing.
That's strange, she said.
She closed her eyes once more and began to drift back to sleep. The humming noise began to buzz through the room again. Alex sat up and looked around her room and finally found what was making the noise. It was coming from inside the Land of Stories on her nightstand, and to her amazement, the pages were unmistakably glowing. Chapter 4, The Land of Stories. Alex had been acting strange all week. Connor had noticed right away, because she wasn't as talkative and upbeat as she usually was. Instead, she was very quiet and looked like she was in a deep state of confusion. When they ate breakfast, she barely acknowledged it when her brother said, "Good morning." During school, she stopped raising her hand as much. After school, she barely said a word to Connor while they walked home. And as soon as they got home, Alex would run up the stairs and lock herself in her bedroom for the rest of the day. "Are you feeling okay?" Connor eventually asked her. "You seem different."
"Yes, I'm just tired," Alex said.
Connor knew she must be tired, because she didn't seem to sleep anymore. Every time he'd gotten up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water or use the bathroom that week, the lights in his sister's bedroom were still on, and he could hear her rustling around inside, working on something. He didn't have to be a genius to know that his sister was dealing with more than just insomnia. He had seen enough health videos at school to know that girls his age were expected to start going through mood swings and changes, but Alex had become another person entirely. Something very serious was bothering her, and she was keeping it to herself.
"Can I borrow some of your pencils?"
A wide-eyed and wide-awake Alex asked him late one night. It was like a peacock asking to borrow some feathers. He wasn't certain how to handle the request. Surely she wasn't doing homework at this hour. "Don't you have, like, hundreds?"
Connor asked her.
Yes, but I've lost them all, she said.
He shared the few that he had with her. Alex took them and quickly disappeared into her room again. She didn't even seem to mind that they were chewed on or were missing the erasers. The next night, Connor kept waking up to a peculiar humming sound coming from Alex's room. It was quiet but had a strong vibration that he could feel as much as he could hear.
Alex, Connor said, knocking on his sister's door. What is that sound? I'm trying to sleep and it's driving me crazy.
It's just a bee. I shoot him out the window,
a frantic Alex responded from behind the door.
A bee? A puzzled Connor asked.
Yes, a very big bee. It's mating season, you know, so they're quite aggressive this time of year,
Alex called out.
All right,
Connor said, and went to bed. But these happenings were nothing compared to the events during the next day at school.
Can anyone tell me the names of the rivers that ran through ancient Mesopotamia?
Mrs. Peters asked the class during a history lesson. As usual, she had no volunteers.
Anyone? Mrs. Peters asked.
Everyone was looking at Alex and expecting her hand to shoot up into the air at any second, but Alex was just staring at the floor. She wasn't paying any attention to anything.
The Tigris and Euphrates, Mrs. Peters informed the class. Can anyone tell me what the area between these two rivers is believed to be?
She asked the question in Alex's direction, but it was no use. Alex was lost in her own thoughts.
Miss Bailey, perhaps you know the answer, Mrs. Peters pleaded.
To what? Alex asked, snapping out of her trance.
The question, Mrs. Peters said.
Oh, Alex said. No, I don't.
She rested her head on her hand and continued staring at the floor. Mrs. Peters and the rest of the class didn't understand what was happening. Alex always knew the answers. How was the class going to function without her?
The cradle of civilization, Mrs. Peters told the class,
answering the question.
Many believe that mankind started there. Miss Bailey!
Alex sat up quickly in her seat. The most shocking thing that had ever happened in the classroom had occurred. Alex Bailey had dozed off in the middle of class.
I am so sorry, Mrs. Peters, Alex pleaded. I don't know what came over me. I haven't been sleeping very well lately.
Mrs. Peters was staring at her as if she had just witnessed a gruesome rural animal give birth.
That's all right, the teacher said.
Do you need to see the nurse?
No, I'm fine. I'm just a little sleepy, Alex said. I promise that'll never happen again.
Connor had been watching the whole thing like it was a train wreck. All he could do was shake his head. What had happened to Alex? Where was his real sister? She was turning into him. The strange humming sound Connor had heard the night before suddenly filled the classroom. Alex sat straight up in her seat, anxious. Her eyes grew larger than they had ever been before. A few of the other students looked around, trying to figure out where the sound was coming from.
Can anyone tell me the technologies Mesopotamia brought into the Bronze Age?
Mrs. Peters asked, oblivious to the humming.
Anyone?
She asked again. Alex's hand shot straight into the air.
Yes, Miss Bailey,
Mrs. Peters happily called on her.
May I use the restroom?
Alex peeped. Mrs. Peters sighed with disappointment.
Yes, you may, she replied.
Before she had finished granting Alex permission to leave the classroom, Alex had already jumped out of her seat, grabbed her school bag, and headed out the door. Connor watched his sister leave. His eyes were bulging with suspicion. Why had she taken her backpack with her to the bathroom? He had to know what was going on. He was going to confront his sister here and now at school, where she had no place to run and no bedroom to lock herself into.
Mrs. Peters?
Connor called out.
Yes, Mr. Bailey,
Mrs. Peters asked.
Can I see the nurse?
He asked.
What for? She asked.
He hadn't thought this far into his plan.
My elbow hurts, Connor said.
Mrs. Peters stared at him blankly. She may have believed him more if he had told her he was a dinosaur.
Your elbow hurts? She asked.
Yes, really bad. I banged it on my desk and now it's just killing me,
Connor said, clutching his perfectly fine elbow. Mrs. Peters squinted and rolled her eyes, two of her trademark indications of annoyance in one expression.
Fine, the teacher said, but I'm going to have to write you a pass.
Connor was out the door before she could finish her sentence. Meanwhile, Alex burst into the girls' restroom. She quickly looked underneath all the stalls to make sure she was alone. She zipped open her school bag, pulled out the Land of Stories,
and set it on top of a sink. It was glowing and humming more than ever.
"Please turn off. Please turn off," Alex said to the book. "I'm at school. I can't get caught with you here."
The sound and shine slowly faded, and the land of stories returned to being just a normal book. Alex sighed with relief, but panicked once more when someone else suddenly charged inside the restroom. It was her brother.
"Bees don't have mating seasons, Alex," Connor said with a tightened brow and his hands on his hips. "I looked it up. They come from colonies just like ants, even the big ones. They don't have schedules."
"Connor, what are you doing in here? You can't be in the girls' bathroom," Alex shouted.
"I'm not leaving until you tell me what's going on," Connor demanded. "You've been lying to me all week. I know something's up. I have twin tuition."
"Twin tuition?" Alex asked sarcastically.
"I made it up," Connor said. "It means I know when something's bothering you, even if you tell me nothing is. At first, I thought you were just having girl issues."
"Oh, Connor, please," Alex interjected.
"Then, after all the strange buzzing noises and late nights, I figured Mom must have gotten you a cell phone and didn't want me to know about it. But then I remembered you have no friends, so who would be calling and texting you?"
Alex grunted. Now he was being accusative and rude.
"But I know you well enough to know that it would take something much worse to make you act this way," Connor said. "You're quiet, you don't know any of Mrs. Peters' answers, and you're falling asleep in class. You're acting like me, so just tell me, what's your problem?"
Alex didn't say a word. She just stared at her feet. She was so ashamed at how she'd been acting, but she knew no one would believe her if she told them why she had been that way, except maybe her brother. Connor looked around the girls' bathroom.
"Gosh, it's so nice in here. The boys' bathroom looks like the bottom of a hazardous waste barrel. Wait, why do you have Grandma's book with you?"
"I don't know what's going on!"
Alex burst into the loud and awkward tears one cries when exhausted and overly stressed. Connor took a step back for his own protection. He had never seen his sister so hysterical.
"At first, I thought I was just hallucinating," Alex said. "I thought maybe I was having a reaction to something Grandma made us for dinner. That was the first night it happened. But then it kept happening, so I knew it wasn't a reaction."
"Alex, what are you talking about?" Connor asked.
"The Land of Stories book," Alex yelled. "It glows! It hums! Every day it gets louder and brighter. I've lost so much sleep trying to figure out how and why it does it. It breaks all the laws of science."
"Ah," Connor said with raised eyebrows. "Alex, I think we should go see the nurse."
"You must think I'm insane," Alex told him. "Anyone would come to that conclusion unless they saw it themselves, but I promise I'm telling the truth."
"I don't think you're insane," Connor lied, starting to think his sister was definitely going insane.
"It happens once or twice a day," Alex said. "I was afraid Mom would find it, so I brought it to school. The last thing she needs to worry about is a possessed book lying around her house."
Connor didn't know what to say. He briefly imagined the future trips he and his mother would take to see his sister at the local asylum and the wisecracks he would make about the cool white jacket she got to wear. Clearly, his sister had lost her mind. But after all they'd been through, he couldn't blame her. He kept thinking about how his dad would have handled the situation. What story would he have used to comfort Alex?
"Alex," Connor said with understanding eyes, "we've been through a lot in the last year. It's perfectly normal to feel overwhelmed and..."
The humming started again. They looked back at the Land of Stories on the sink. To Alex's relief and Connor's horror, it was glowing. Connor jumped back against the wall as if he were in the presence of an explosive.
"The Land of Stories book," Connor yelled. "It glows! It hums!"
"I told you," Alex said. Connor's mouth was open so wide it was almost touching his chest.
"Is it radioactive?"
he asked.
"I doubt it,"
Alex told him. She reached for the book.
"Don't touch it, Alex!"
Connor shouted.
"Relax, Connor,"
Alex reassured him. "I've been dealing with this all week." Using one finger, she flicked the book open, and the entire room was illuminated. All the illustrations and writing had disappeared, and the pages seemed to be made out of pure light. Alex leaned closer to the book.
"Listen, do you hear that?" she asked. "I can hear birds and leaves. I've never heard sounds come out of it before."
Connor edged away from the wall and leaned down with his sister. The sounds of birds chirping and trees blowing in the wind echoed off the tile and porcelain in the bathroom.
"How is this possible?" Connor asked. "Are you sure it doesn't have batteries or something?"
"My most educated analysis, with all means of science and technology in mind, is that it's magic," Alex said.
There's no other possible explanation.
Do you think Grandma knows about this? Connor asked. She had the book for years before she gave it to us. Do you think this has happened before?
I don't think Grandma would have given it to us if she knew what it was capable of, Alex said.
You're right, Connor said. She still cuts up my meat when she comes for dinner because she doesn't trust me with knives.
There's more, Alex said. She reached into her school bag and pulled out a pencil. Carefully, she placed the pencil on the open book. It quickly sank into the glowing page and disappeared.
Where'd it go?
Connor sputtered in utter astonishment.
I don't know, Alex said. I've been dropping things into it all week. Pencils, books, dirty socks, and anything else I could find that I knew I wouldn't miss. I think it may be some kind of portal.
A portal to what? Connor asked.
Alex didn't have an answer. Of course, there was one location that she had hoped it might lead to. The twins leaned down even closer to the book, their noses almost touching it. They had to squint because it was so bright. Suddenly, a bright red bird flew out of the book. The twins screamed and ran around the room in panic. They bumped into each other, into the walls, and into the sinks as the bird zoomed above them. It was just as panicked as they were. Finally, Connor opened the bathroom door and the bird flew out of the room and into the world.
You didn't say things came out of it, too, Connor yelled. I didn't know. That's the first time that's happened, Alex yelled back at him.
The book slowly dimmed and returned to normal. Connor's head was spinning. He couldn't believe all the things he just witnessed. No wonder Alex was having such a rough week. He now felt his own sanity might be slipping, too.
We have to get rid of this book, Connor exclaimed. After school, we should ride our bikes down to the creek and toss it in so no one ever finds it.
We can't get rid of it, Alex said. It's Grandma's book. It's been in our family forever.
Birds are flying out of it, Alex. I'm sure she'll understand, he said. What if a lion or a shark comes out of it next? I know it drives you crazy when you don't know about stuff, but this is one matter you need to let go. It could be more dangerous than we think. Who knows what could happen?
She knew her brother was right, but there was something about the whole situation that intrigued her past the point of reason.
I think you're overreacting, Alex said. I don't want to get rid of it until I know more about it.
She closed the book, put it back in her school bag, and walked out of the restroom.
Alex, don't walk away! Alex!
Connor called out after her. The twins returned to class. All the students were silently reading their history books.
Alex, we need to talk, Connor whispered.
Mr. and Miss Bailey, please have a seat and read the chapter on Mesopotamia, Mrs. Peters ordered from her desk.
Yes, Mrs. Peters, Alex said,
and then turned back to her brother and whispered,
We'll talk about it later, Connor.
Connor let out a sound similar to something a bear would make.
Mr. Bailey, how was the nurse? Mrs. Peters asked.
There was no need. My elbow started feeling much better before I got there, Connor said,
holding the other elbow than the one he had previously claimed was hurting. Mrs. Peters raised an eyebrow so high it was almost above her. The twins sat at their desks and opened their history books, but neither of them could actually read. Their thoughts were so loud it was impossible to focus on anything. Connor kept looking up at his sister, hoping she'd turn around so he could make some sort of gesture to make her understand how serious the situation was. Alex could feel her brother's eyes in the back of her head, so she remained facing forward, set on ignoring him. And then, the worst possible thing that could have happened, happened. The land of stories began humming in the quiet classroom from the inside of Alex's bag. She looked back at her brother, finally making eye contact. What were they going to do? Mrs. Peters had been so caught up in her lesson plan that she hadn't heard it earlier. Was it possible for her to miss it again?
What is that noise? Mrs. Peters demanded.
All of the students were looking around the room, wondering the same thing. Alex and Connor were terrified. They felt like their stomachs had fallen out of their bodies. Mrs. Peters got up from her desk and started searching around the room, like a coyote sniffing out its prey. She walked up and down the aisles of the desks, getting closer and closer to Alex.
If anyone knows what that is, they'd better tell me before I find it, the teacher warned.
Alex could feel her heartbeat in her throat. There was no telling what could happen if her teacher found the book. She could only imagine what a fuss the school would make of the discovery. Perhaps they'd call the local news stations. Perhaps government officials would take the book away for experimental testing. Perhaps her family would be taken away because they had been in such close contact with it.
Mrs. Peters arrived at Alex's desk. Miss Bailey, is there something in your bag? She asked.
All the color in Alex's face drained away. She needed a miracle.
Suddenly, a large history book flew from the back of the classroom and hit Mrs. Peters on the head, leaving a large dent in her curly hair. The entire class turned to the back of the room and saw Connor's extended hand. He had just thrown a book at their teacher. Mrs. Peters' face turned bright red. A charging bull would have seemed harmless compared to the way she was looking at Connor.
"Mr. Bailey, what on earth has gotten into you?"
she screamed. The whole school must have heard her. For a brief moment, Connor saw his entire life flash before his eyes. He honestly thought he was about to die. His face was so white, he was almost transparent.
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Peters," Connor whimpered. "There was a bee. I didn't mean to hit you,"
he lied. Steam was practically coming out of the teacher's ears and nostrils.
"Detention, Mr. Bailey. For the rest of this week, next week, and the week after that," Mrs. Peters said.
She returned to her desk and immediately began filling out every detention slip she had in her possession. Thankfully, the room had become so tense that everyone had forgotten about the humming sound, and even more thankfully, they had noticed it slowly fade away. Connor's mission was accomplished. He knew he'd done the right thing, not as a student, but as a brother. Soon the bell rang, and all the students left their desks and filed out of the classroom, except for Connor, who remained seated. Alex walked up to him.
"Thanks for that," she said.
"You owe me one," Connor told her. She nodded and then left the classroom to walk home alone. Connor remained seated until Mrs. Peters finished filling out the detention slips.
"Come here, Mr. Bailey," she said.
Connor approached her desk as if it were on fire.
"Throwing things in my classroom will never be tolerated. Do you understand me, Mr. Bailey?"
she said, heavily pronouncing each syllable of every word.
"One more incident like that and I will have you expelled."
He gulped and nodded. She handed him a large stack of detention slips.
"Your mother will need to sign all of these," Mrs. Peters told him.
He nodded again.
"I'm really sorry," Connor said. I hope I didn't hurt you."
He was so genuine that even Mrs. Peters could sense his regret. She knew that deep down, Connor had always been a good kid, a horrible student, but a good kid nonetheless.
"It's all right, Mr. Bailey," she said. "I believe I have underestimated the effect your family situation has had on you and your sister. I'm going to contact your mother with a list of different after-school programs I think you and your sister should take part in, as well as a list of self-help books that may be beneficial."
Connor nodded in agreement.
"I think if you had some place to escape to once in a while, it'd help you deal with whatever you're going through," she said.
Connor continued nodding. If there was ever a time in his life when he needed an escape from reality, it was now. And he was sure his sister would agree. And then, like lightning, the thought hit him.
"Oh my God, Alex," Connor thought. "She's gonna travel into the book herself. That's why she's been holding on to it. That's why she's refused to get rid of it."
Connor dropped all the detention slips and bolted toward the door.
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Peters. I can't go to detention today. Something just came up." "Mr. Bailey, get back here right now,"
she yelled after him, but it was too late. He was already gone. Connor was running as fast as he could down the street. Alex had gotten so much of a head start. Would he make it in home in time to stop her? What if she was already gone by the time he got there? What if he never saw her again? His feet began to ache. A horrible pain grew in his side, and his heart felt like it was beating out of his chest. But he continued running. He just prayed he wasn't too late. It hadn't been more than 5 minutes since Alex had gotten home when the Land of Stories began acting up again. She ran up the stairs to her bedroom and promptly shut the door behind her. Alex took the Land of Stories out of her school bag and placed it on her bedroom floor. She opened the cover, and her room lit up from its golden glow. She smiled to herself. Alex had always hoped something magical would happen to her, and now something finally was. She pulled out a pencil from her school bag and placed it on the top of the book and watched it disappear. Alex looked around the room for other disposable things she could drop into the book. She was out of pencils, and the books left in her bookshelf were ones she wanted to keep. She looked down at her school bag. She did have plenty of school bags. She placed her whole bag on top of the book and watched as it, too, slowly sank into the storybook. Where were all these things going? Was it transporting them to another part of the world? Would she find a pile of her school supplies in India or China? Or did the books send the items someplace else entirely? Was it possible they were going to another world? Was it the world that Alex secretly hoped for? There was only one way to find out. It was an idea she had managed to suppress all week. What if she went into the book?
No, she couldn't possibly do such a stupid thing. What if she never came out? But what if she stuck her hand into the book? What would happen? Would it hurt? Would her whole arm disappear? Alex's curiosity overruled her caution. She sat on her knees and bent over the book very carefully. Alex started with just her fingertips. So far, so good. There was no pain. She only felt a warm, tingly sensation. Alex reached farther. She was wrist-deep now, and still nothing had happened that worried her. She went farther. The book was up to her elbow. If the book hadn't been there, her hand would surely be sticking through the ceiling downstairs. Alex leaned forward even farther, almost shoulder-deep into the book. She moved her arm around, seeing if there was anything to grab onto inside it. Suddenly, her bedroom door burst open, and Connor ran inside, sweating and out of breath.
"Alex, don't do it!"
He completely startled her. Alex lost her balance and fell, head first, into the book.
"Alex!"
Connor cried out to his sister. He jumped to the ground, trying to grab her foot before she disappeared entirely. But it was too late. Alex had fallen into the land of stories. Chapter 5. From the Mouth of a Frog. Alex was no longer in her bedroom. She was falling into a world of light. She fell farther and farther, faster and faster. She was dizzy and scared. She screamed out for help but couldn't hear her own voice. Would she ever stop falling? Was she going to die? Was she dead? She wondered if she would ever see her family again. She could hear birds chirping and trees blowing in the wind. The noise seemed to get closer and closer, but she just kept falling and falling, not knowing where she was falling to.
"Ouch!"
Alex said, hitting the ground. Her impact was hard enough to hurt, but not hard enough to seriously injure her. Had it not been for the rough landing, she would have thought she was dreaming for sure. Alex quickly got to her feet. She felt her pulse to make sure her heart was still working. She was still alive, from what she could tell. She was so thankful to have finally stopped falling. But where exactly had she fallen to? She was standing on a dirt path in the middle of a thick forest. The trees were tall and dark, with bright green moss covering their trunks. The sun's rays shined through a light mist. Birds squawked from high in the trees, and if she listened closely enough, she could hear a tiny stream in the distance. Alex spun around, looking in all directions. Her breathing increased as she took in her new surroundings. Was she overreacting or not reacting enough to what had just happened? And what exactly had just happened? She looked up to see if there was an opening she had fallen through, hoping to see some sort of window into her bedroom, but all she saw were tree branches in the sky above her.
"Where am I?"
she asked herself.
"Ah!"
As if he had fallen right out of thin air, Connor landed hard on the ground beside his sister. He was pale and screaming, and his limbs were stretched out in all directions.
"Am I alive? Am I dying? Am I dead?"
he asked from the ground with his eyes tightly closed.
"You're alive," Alex told him. She had never been so happy to see him.
"Alex, is that you?" Connor asked. He slowly opened his eyes, one at a time, and looked around.
"Where are we?"
he asked as she helped him to his feet.
"It looks like some kind of forest," she said.
It was unlike any forest they had ever seen, in real life at least. The colors were so vivid and the air was so crisp. It was as if they had fallen into a painting Alex was positive she had seen before.
"Look," Connor said, pointing at the ground. "All of our pencils."
The path was littered with the pencils Alex had been dropping into the book all week. She also found her school bag and a few of her dirty socks in the middle of the mess. But where were all the books she had dropped into the land of stories?
"So this is where they all went," Alex said.
"But where is here?" Connor asked.
"How far away from home are we?"
Alex couldn't answer him. She was starting to become just as worried as he was. They were worse than lost.
"This is all your fault, Alex," he said.
"My fault?" Alex yelled.
"We wouldn't be here if you had just knocked on my door instead of barging in like the house was on fire."
"I knew you were planning this," Connor said. "I had to stop you."
"I wasn't planning on going into the book. I was just testing it out,"
Alex explained.
"You didn't have to follow me here."
"Oh, sure. Was I just supposed to leave you in the book by yourself?" he exclaimed. "What was I supposed to tell Mom when she got home? Hi, Mom. Hope you had a good day at work. Alex fell through a book. By the way, what's for dinner? Give me a break."
Connor began jumping upward as high as he could. "What are you doing?" Alex asked. "We fell
from somewhere up here. There's got to be a way back, he said,
but all his jumping was pointless. Connor eventually tired himself out, and he took a seat on the ground against a tree trunk.
What if we were transported to another country or something? Connor asked.
His forehead became more wrinkled the further he thought about it.
What if it took us to Canada or Mongolia or somewhere? How long is it going to take for Mom or someone to find us?
Suddenly, the ground started shaking. A powerful rumbling had consumed the forest. The branches of the tree shook, and the small rocks on the ground began jumping as something massive moved closer toward them.
What's happening now? Connor yelled. Let's take cover, Alex said.
She grabbed her bag, and the twins ran off the path and into the forest a little way and took refuge behind a particularly wide tree. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. A huge cavalcade of soldiers on white horses rode past them. Their armor was clean and shiny. They carried green and silver shields with large red apples painted on them and waved flags with the same design.
Alex, did we go back in time? Connor anxiously asked his sister. That looks like something straight out of medieval times.
The pencils were all obliterated under the horses' hooves. The soldiers were moving at such a fast and forceful pace that none of them noticed the awestruck twins peeking out from behind the tree. Alex was fixated on their shields. A red apple was such an odd thing to be displayed on a shield. But there was something so familiar about it. She couldn't put her finger on it. The rumbling slowly faded away as the soldiers disappeared down the dirt path. The twins both stayed behind the tree for a few moments, making sure the coast was clear.
I don't know about you, but I've had about as much excitement as I can handle for one day, Connor told Alex.
A poster pinned to a nearby tree caught Alex's eye. She walked over to it and pulled it off the tree for further inspection. It was old, with faded writing, and a picture of a disgruntled-looking little girl with curly blonde hair was centered on it. The poster read, Wanted, dead or alive, Goldilocks. For burglary, thievery, and running from the law. Alex's face went white, and she stopped breathing for a moment. She had realized where they were. No wonder the trees had been so recognizable. She had seen pictures of them so many times growing up. The book had taken them to the exact place she had hoped.
Is it possible? She asked herself.
The wheels on her head had never spun as fast as they were now.
Is what possible? Connor asked.
Do you know where we are?
I think so,
Alex told him.
Where?
Connor asked, fearing the answer.
Connor, we went into the book, she explained,
but he wasn't following her.
I think we're actually in the land of stories.
She handed him the wanted poster and he read it. His eyes grew as wide as a lemur's.
No, 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 this cannot be happening. This is crazy, he said, shaking his head.
He handed the poster back to his sister as if it were infected with rabies. He couldn't believe what she was saying. He didn't want to believe what she was saying.
Are you telling me we're in the fairy tale world?
I'd recognize this forest anywhere. It's straight out of Grandma's book,
Alex said with an unplanned smile.
But it makes perfect sense. Where else would it have taken us?
We just fell through a book. Nothing makes sense, Connor said. So are we stuck here or what? How do we get home?
I don't have all your answers, Connor, Alex said.
Don't forget, all of this just happened to me too.
Connor began pacing around the trees with his hands on his hips.
I can't believe I ditched attention and wound up in another dimension, he said.
Alex was rather grateful her brother had come after her. They had lived together all their lives and had been in the same classroom since kindergarten. She didn't know if she could handle being in a different dimension by herself.
I hope you're happy, Alex, Connor said. I told you we should have thrown the book into the creek.
Enough with the blaming, Alex said. It doesn't matter how we got here. The point is, we're here now. What matters is finding someone who can help us get home. Excuse me, may I help you?
Said a proper voice behind the twins. They jolted at the sound of another voice besides their own. They turned around to see who it had come from, and once they saw, they both wished they hadn't. Standing behind Alex and Connor was what best could be described as a frogman. He was tall, with a wide face, big glossy eyes, and shiny green skin. He wore a dapper three-piece suit and carried a large glass jar of lily pads.
Forgive me for eavesdropping, but I'm rather good with directions if you need some, he said with a very wide smile.
Alex and Connor were so petrified that they were paralyzed. If they needed any more evidence that they were in the fairy tale world, this was their proof.
You look awfully young to be in the forest by yourselves, the frogman said. Are you lost?
Connor let out a high-pitched squeal that lasted much longer than it should have.
"Please don't eat us!"
he said, and dropped to the ground in a fetal position. The frogman looked down at him with a frown.
"Young man, I have no intention of eating you," he said.
"Is he always like this?" the frogman asked Alex. Alex responded with a squeal almost identical to the one her brother had made.
I know, don't worry, I'm used to people screaming at me," the frogman told them. "Get it out of your systems, the shock will only last a minute."
"We're sorry," Alex finally managed to say. "It's just that, where we're from, there aren't many, frog people. Sorry if that isn't the politically correct term for what you are."
Connor let out another high-pitched noise. It wasn't a scream this time, but it was embarrassing nonetheless. The frogman studied their faces and paid special attention to their clothes.
"Where exactly are you from?"
"Pretty far from here," Alex said.
A piercing set of wolf howls echoed through the forest. All three of them jumped at the sound. The frogman looked around the trees with fear in his big, glossy eyes.
"It's getting dark," the frogman said. "We'd better get inside. Please, follow me home. It's just a few minutes' walk from here."
"Nice try," Connor said.
The wolf howls echoed again. This time they were much louder than the first. Wherever the wolves were, they were getting closer.
"I know I look scary now," said the frogman to the twins, "but I'm nothing compared to some of the creatures that lurk around these woods at night. I promise I will not harm you."
There was such concern in his eyes, it was hard not to trust him. The frogman took off at a brisk walk deeper into the forest. Alex nudged Connor.
"We'd better follow him." "Are you crazy? I'm not going home with a giant frog," Connor whispered to her.
"What do we have to lose?" Alex asked.
"Besides our lives," Connor said.
But despite his protest, he was dragged up by his sister and pulled in the direction the frogman was leading them. The twins hurried behind the frogman for a good while. They zigzagged between trees and jumped over boulders and tree roots stuck up from the ground. The deeper they went into the forest, the thicker the trees became. It got dark very quickly and was almost pitch black by the time they reached the frogman's home. Alex and Connor stayed close together. With every step, they second-guessed if they had made a smart choice going with a strange creature.
"This way," he said.
The frogman brushed aside some dead vines growing over a large wooden door that was camouflaged into the side of a small hill. He pulled the door open and led the hesitant twins underground. He looked back into the forest, making sure they hadn't been followed, before shutting the door behind him. It was very dark underground. Alex and Connor were so close together, they could have been mistaken for Siamese twins.
"Forgive the mess. I wasn't expecting company," the frogman apologized,
and lit a lamp with a match. Alex and Connor didn't know what to expect at the frogman's home, but what they were seeing definitely wasn't it. They were in a large room with dirt walls and a low, dirt ceiling. Roots from a tree growing above them grew down like a chandelier. A cluster of big, cushy chairs and sofas, many of the cushions had the stuffing sticking out of them, sat in the center of the room and were angled to face a small fireplace. Nearby, teacups and pots hung from hooks over a tiny kitchenette. To Alex's delight, there were books everywhere. Shelves of books lined the dirt walls. Piles of books were stacked on every available surface and on the ground. It was as if the room were infested with literature.
"Connor," Alex whispered close to him, "look around at this place. It's like we're having our own Lucy and Mr. Tumnus moment."
Connor looked around and saw what she meant. "If he offers us Turkish delight, I don't care what you say, we're getting out of here," he whispered back.
"It's a little dirty, but it's cozy," the frogman said. "It's hard to find a landlord that will house a frog, so I did the best I could with what I had."
He placed his jar of lily pads on the mantel and immediately started a fire in the fireplace. He filled a tea kettle with water from a pitcher, placed it over the fire, and took a seat in a big white chair closest to it. He crossed his legs and folded his hands neatly in his lap. He was one proper frog.
"Please have a seat,"
the frogman said, gesturing to the sofa in front of him. The twins reluctantly did as he asked. The sofa was rather lumpy, so they had to shift around in their seats to get comfortable.
"What are you?" Connor asked the frog.
"Connor, don't be rude," said his sister, elbowing him in the side. "It's quite all right," the frogman said with a complicated smile. "I understand my parents take some time to get used to. Even I haven't fully adapted to it yet."
"You mean you weren't always a, frog person?"
Alex asked as politely as she could.
"Heavens no," the frogman said. "I was cursed years ago by a very aggressive witch."
"Why?"
Alex asked. She was fascinated by how casually he said it.
To teach me a lesson, I suppose, the frogman told her. I used to be a very vain young man. The witch transformed my appearance so I would lose all the things I took for granted.
His wide smile softly faded. It had obviously been a very long and painful experience for him, and he still had a sad sense of loss and longing about him. The twins had never seen a frog look so sad.
I can't imagine what that must have been like, Alex said, beaming with sympathy.
Can we call you Froggy? Connor asked with a small smirk.
Connor!
Alex reprimanded.
It's quite all right, the frogman nodded, and his smile returned. I've learned that the more people embrace their disadvantages, the less disadvantaged they become. Please, call me Froggy. I prefer it.
Connor shrugged and smiled.
May I get you some lily pad tea?
Froggy asked the twins. Both the twins nodded. They didn't want to be rude. Froggy retrieved the tea kettle from the fire and hopped, literally, to the kitchenette and poured water into three teacups. He opened the jar on the mantel and dropped the lily pad into each teacup and stirred.
Do either of you take flies with your tea?
He asked, reaching for another jar on his mantel, this one filled with dead flies.
No thanks, Connor said, trying to quit.
Suit yourself, Froggy said, and dropped a few flies into his tea.
He handed them each a teacup and reseated himself across from them. They stared down at it for a few moments before deciding they'd at least pretend to drink it.
What are your names?
Froggy asked the twins.
I'm Alex, and this is my brother Connor.
A large and happy smile came to Froggy's face.
Are you by chance Alex Bailey?
Froggy asked, grinning from ear equivalent to ear equivalent.
Yes.
Alex was shocked. How did this amphibian know who she was?
As in, this book belongs to Alex Bailey?
Froggy asked. He leaned over the side of his chair and pulled up a stack of books, opening one to show where the phrase was written inside it.
Those are my books,
Alex said excitedly, recognizing the books she had dropped into the land of stories.
I was wondering what had happened to them.
It was so peculiar, Froggy explained. I was out collecting flies and was walking down the path to the swamp when one just fell from the sky and landed on my head. I returned the next day and found several more in the same spot. It was the oddest thing that's ever happened to me.
You mean besides being turned into a frog, right?
Connor asked.
Because if I were you, that would be on the top of my list.
Ouch!
Alex elbowed her brother. Froggy ignored Connor and went on with his explanation.
As you can see from my shelves, I love to collect books, especially when I'm not expecting to, he said. And these books were unlike any I'd ever read. They described people and places I had never seen or heard of, and I thought I had seen it all. The authors wrote about such interesting places. Could you imagine a world without witches or trolls or giants? What imaginations!
Froggy chuckled at the thought of this. The twins laughed along with the best fake laughs they could muster.
Please keep them. I have duplicate copies at home,
Alex told him. Froggy was delighted to hear this. Connor cleared his throat.
Speaking of home, I don't mean to interrupt this little book club, but we're very lost and would like to know where we are.
Froggy's glossy eyes went back and forth between the twins, watching them closely.
Oh, children, you wouldn't be here if you knew where you were, Froggy said. You're in the dwarf forests.
He had expected to get some sort of worried reaction from the twins, but Alex and Connor just stared up at him with little expression.
The dwarf forests? Alex asked. What are the dwarf forests? You've never heard of them?
Froggy asked, completely appalled. The twins both shook their heads.
It's a very dangerous place, Froggy told them. It's the only designated area of land without a ruler or a government. It's a kingdom where everyone is their own king. It used to be populated by dwarfs who worked in the mines, but now it's just full of criminals and fugitives mostly. It's a place where people go when they don't want to be found.
Knowing they had not only traveled into another world, but were in a dangerous part of that world did nothing to help the twins' anxiety level.
Are there other kingdoms?
Alex asked. Froggy was stunned. It was as if she had asked him what color the sky was. However, he seemed to be enjoying their unfamiliarity.
Of course, he said. There's the Northern Kingdom, the Sleeping Kingdom, the Charming Kingdom, the Corner Kingdom, the Fairy Kingdom, the Red Riding Hood Kingdom, the Elf Empire, the Dwarf Forests, and the Troll and Goblin Territory. How can you possibly not know this?
This was difficult for the twins to wrap their heads around. How big was the fairy tale world? Their puzzled faces inspired Froggy to hop out of his seat and cross to one of the bookshelves and return with a large rolled-up scroll. He handed it to the twins, and they unrolled it. It was a large, detailed map of the new world they were in.
The fairy tale world was a wide continent, bordered by mountain ranges and covered in forests, with castles and palaces and villages scattered all around. The Northern Kingdom was the largest of the kingdoms, and took up most of the top of the map. The second largest was the Charming Kingdom, spread across to the south. And the third largest was the Sleeping Kingdom, which stretched along the east. The dwarf forests covered the majority of the west. The tiny corner kingdom was tucked away in the southwest corner of the continent, and in the northwest corner was the Elf Empire. In between the Charming Kingdom and the Sleeping Kingdom was the Fairy Kingdom, and just above that was the Troll and Goblin territory. The Fairy Kingdom looked beautiful, as it was very colorful and seemed to sparkle on the map. The Troll and Goblin territory looked frightening and appeared to be surrounded by large boulders and rocks, preventing anything from going in or coming out. In the very center of it all was the Red Riding Hood Kingdom, circled by an unmistakable brick wall of gigantic proportions. Alex and Connor couldn't believe it. The world they had grown up hearing about was real. It was all real, and it was bigger and better than they could have ever imagined. Alex couldn't help but get emotional. Tears began to flood her eyes. "Together, all the kingdoms create the Happily Ever After Assembly," Froggy explained.
"The Happily Ever After Assembly?" Connor asked with a slight touch of sarcasm in his voice.
"It's the organization formed to uphold the treaty all the rulers signed so that all the kingdoms could live in peace and prosperity," Froggy told them. "Sounds like our United Nations," Alex whispered to Connor. "All the kingdoms have their own traditions and celebrated histories," Froggy went on.
"And there are kings and queens, I'm assuming?" Connor asked.
"Oh, yes," Froggy said. "The Northern Kingdom is ruled by Queen Snow White. The Corner Kingdom is watched over by Queen Rapunzel. The Sleeping Kingdom, formerly known as the Eastern Kingdom, but renamed after the dreadful curse under which it was placed, is governed by Queen Sleeping Beauty. And of course, the Charming Kingdom is ruled by King Charming and his wife, Queen Cinderella."
"Wait, are these the current monarchs?" Alex asked, with a spark of excitement in her eyes. "You mean Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty? They're all still alive?"
"Of course they are," Froggy said.
"Oh my goodness, that is wonderful!" Alex said excitedly. "Isn't that wonderful, Connor?"
"Whatever," Connor mumbled.
"How old do you think they are?" Froggy asked.
"Queen Snow White and King Charming have only been married a few years. Queen Cinderella and King Charming are expecting their first child soon. Queen Sleeping Beauty and King Charming are sadly still trying to restore their kingdom to consciousness after that horrible sleeping spell it was placed under."
"Wait," Connor said. "Are you saying all these queens are married to the same guy?"
"Certainly not," Froggy said. "There are three King Charmings. They're brothers."
"Of course," Alex said. "Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty all married Prince Charming. There's more than one. How come I never thought of that?"
Connor's eyes were fixated on the map. He kept searching for some kind of road or bridge that would lead them back home, but he found nothing.
"Why are there a bunch of rocks around the Troll and Goblin territory?" Connor asked.
"As punishment," Froggy said. "Trolls and goblins are nasty creatures, and have a habit of kidnapping people and turning them into slaves. The Fairy Council forced the trolls and goblins into one territory, and none of them are allowed to leave without permission."
"Fairy Council?" Alex asked. This world was almost too good to be true.
"Yes, they're a group of the most powerful fairies of the kingdoms," Froggy explained. "Cinderella's fairy godmother is one of them, and so is Mother Goose, and all the fairies that blessed Sleeping Beauty when she was a baby are on it, too. They rule the Fairy Kingdom and are the leaders of the Happily Ever After Assembly."
"Is the Red Riding Hood Kingdom under some sort of punishment too?" Connor asked. "Why is there a huge wall built around it?"
Alex looked down at the map and back at the Froggy, equally curious.
"That was a result of the Kral Revolution," Froggy said.
"What was the Kral Revolution?"
Alex asked.
"The citizens' riots against wolf liberty," Froggy explained. "The Red Riding Hood Kingdom used to be a group of villages in the Northern Kingdom that were constantly under attack by wolves. They begged the Evil Queen, Snow White's stepmother, who was on the throne at the time, to help them. But the Evil Queen was too occupied with her vanity, so they revolted and started their own kingdom. They built a huge wall around it so no wolves could get in."
"And now Red Riding Hood is the queen?" Alex asked.
"Yes. She's the only elected queen in history," Froggy said. "The villagers figured her story was the most symbolic of the struggle, so they chose her to lead them."
"But isn't she just a little girl?"
Alex asked.
"No, she's a young woman now. A very self-obsessed young woman, from what I hear. After all, she named the kingdom after herself. Her grandmother does most of the decision-making while she takes all the credit, Froggy said. Unfortunately, the Kral Revolution only led to the rise of the Big Bad Wolf Pack.
The Big Bad Wolf Pack? Connor asked.
Yes. They're the descendants.